You are saved and forgiven by the hands of Jesus.
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor Darren, bringing you truth and peace through God's Word. In this episode, we dive into the Lord's Prayer and discuss what we mean when we use the words, "deliver us from evil."
Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell.
Now here's Pastor Darren sharing biblical truths and exploring the topic, "deliver us from evil." Thanks for listening.
Listen, you are going to break their ribs, he warned us. He said, if you don't hear a snap, a crack, or a pop, you're not doing it right. And with just that energy and that every ounce of his persuasion, our CPR instructional class teacher was seeking to convince us to do chest compressions correctly. He said, the biggest mistake that happens in CPR is that people don't push hard enough when they're pushing. He said, listen, he said, you are their heartbeat. So are you there to save them, or are you there to be gentle and watch them die? He said, do it the right way, and they are going to be very sore. Their ribs will be broken or cracked, but they'll be alive, and they'll thank you. And he's right. And after that, then we had a lesson on the AED that delivers this jolt of a shock to a person to get their heart going and save their life. This made me realize, you know, some people, in order to be saved, need to be hurt. And so today, as we continue our Dear God series and we study Jesus' words in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil, we're going to see that there are times when God can certainly deliver us very quickly, very easily deliver us, but there are many times where God's delivery involves saving us through his discipline, which can hurt. You know, God's discipline of Christians is often mistaken for God's wrath and punishment, and that is simply not true at all. It's not biblical. It may feel like that. You may read memes and Facebook posts about that, but it is not true. Suffering in the life of a Christian is never God's wrath and punishment. Why? Because God's fist of wrath and punishment on your sins pounded his own son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay for your sins. And that's when your sins were punished once and for all. The Bible says in Romans 8, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So it was this special CPR kind of thing where you are saved, but Jesus was hurt. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, by his wounds you are healed. So then, what are we to make of this suffering in life that feels so wrong, of evil and trouble and temptation in our world? What are we to make of this? Well, the Bible even says in 1 Peter chapter 5, that's the section we're covering here today in this message, that Christians are undergoing the same kind of suffering. So the Bible admits that we do suffer. But when you're a believer, suffering is not God hurling lightning bolts at you in anger, trying to mess up your life, or even kill you. Suffering is God flipping the switch of his spiritual AED, which delivers a jolt of his power and his energy and his love, of his divine nature, of delivers this jolt to you to wake you up, to bring part of you to life that isn't as alive as God knows it can be. And while he's doing this, the devil is paying close attention. The devil sees God's discipline in your life as an opportunity to lie to you, as an opportunity, just like he did in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, as an opportunity to say, boy, that really hurts. That's too bad. You know, if you had a God who was truly good, a God who truly loved you, he wouldn't allow you to suffer like this. Why don't you take this little sin? Why don't you just go ahead, take this little sin. It'll be fine. And obviously, God's not paying attention anyway, or you wouldn't be suffering. So go ahead and sin. It'll make your suffering better. It'll ease the pain. The devil lies. And 1 Peter 5 talks about this. It mentions the devil saying he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So the devil promises relief. Take this sin. It'll make everything okay. 1 Peter 5 continues, be alert and of sober mind. Snap out of it. Don't make impulsive decisions like a drunk. I mean, sober up. Believe God's truth instead of the devil's lies. Resist him, the Bible continues, standing firm in the faith. You know, there's so much for us to learn here because it's so natural. It's so instinctive for us to take trouble and suffering as the opposite of God's way when it really is God's way. It was Jesus' way all the way to his crucifixion, which is what saved us. I want to share with you a poem that I read this week from a Christian author who wrote just about this, and it was very impactful for me, and I want to share it with you about Christians battling the lies of the devil and seeking the truth of God when it comes to suffering and discipline. Here's what he wrote. Into my comfortable world, where pleasures were many, comfort was frequent, and smiles came easy, you sent a raging storm. Broken things, uprooted things, lost things left in its wake. Tears flowed, hurt followed, anger rushed in, confusion enveloped, questions haunted, peace crumbled, faith's foundations weakened. You didn't send the storm to judge, to punish, to condemn. The wind and the waves didn't pound me with your anger, but surrounded me with your love. The tumult was your rescue, God. A deeper storm had blown me away from you. A storm of the heart, broken things, uprooted things, lost things. Then you stormed in. Powerful grace restored me to you. May your holy storm of mercy blow again. You know, you can live with more faith and more confidence and courage and less fear and less confusion when you believe God's truth and God's word about suffering and discipline in your life. When you believe that life was not meant to be easy, but full. And that God is less concerned about your happiness and more concerned about your character. And when you understand that peace comes not from ease of life, no, peace comes not from circumstances being just right, but peace comes from the power and the presence of the ever-living Jesus Christ and the forgiving grace of God in your life. That's what 1 Peter 5 verse says. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, right here, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So when you're overwhelmed and just can't conjure up the strength you need to fight with faith, cast your anxiety on God. You can pray, God, it's too much for me. I can't do it without you. And when the pain is too much and you're tempted to numb it with what you know is evil, cast your anxiety on God. You can pray, God, it hurts. Help me. And when the suffering is more than you bargained for and you're questioning God's plan in your life, cast your anxiety on God. You can pray, God, what is happening? Lead me, guide me. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. Hands can tell you a lot about a person. Tough hands with dirt and grease under the fingernails belong to a skilled tradesman who's been working hard all day. Their hands will tell you who they are. Tender, soft hands with pristinely painted fingernails belong to someone who has just spent the morning at the spa. And then tiny little hands with tiny fingers that are groping belong to an infant who is grabbing and seeking security. Hands tell you a lot about a person. I want you to imagine right now Jesus' hands. And I want you to picture Jesus' hands in a number of different circumstances. First of all, Jesus' infant hands gripping a piece of straw in the manger, touching earth for what in one of the first moments meaning that God is with us, that heaven has come to earth. You think of Jesus' 12-year-old hands skillfully fixing a piece of furniture with carpentry he learned from Joseph, and those hands would later fix and heal the sick. Jesus' hands in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was begging his Father to deliver him from this evil, this suffering and death, and his hands would then soon be bound by ropes of betrayal and hate, tying him and taking him to trial. His hands grasping tightly onto the rugged shepherd's staff that was forced into his hands by the mocking soldiers, and he'd be leaning on it with whatever strength he had left, trying not to collapse, and then carrying his own cross with his own bloody hands to the ugly hilltop of crucifixion where there was splinters, where there was blood. And Jesus suffered at the hands of wicked men and by the hand of God. The result? Deliverance from evil. You are saved and forgiven by the hands of Jesus. Well, then why, you ask, can I not be delivered from my migraines, or at least from my commute to work, which gives me a headache once in a while? And why can I not be delivered from my addiction, or from just the busyness of life and my overwhelming schedule? And my answer is, you are delivered through the hands of Jesus Christ, God's Son. He does deliver you from those things. Now, he may deliver you by changing circumstances. He may deliver you from your migraines by taking your migraines away. He delivered some lepers from their leprosy in the Bible, this sickness, by taking their sickness away. But he may not take your migraines away. He may not take your commute away. He may not take your addiction away, your busyness away. He may allow it as God's discipline and save you through it. Sometimes you need to hurt people in order to save them. Ultimately, when we die, Jesus will deliver us from evil by taking us to heaven to live with him forever. Until then, he does deliver us. He just chooses the right way. And so I want to end with this verse that is encouragement in 1 Peter 5. It says this, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever." See God's promise here? In that verse, there was only one thing that was limited. The only thing limited in this verse is suffering. Suffering for a little while, the verse says. And everything else is unlimited. There is God's grace, the God of all grace, the verse said. There is your glory that you'll experience in heaven, which is eternal. It's unlimited in time. And there is God's power in your life, but it's not limited at all. Only suffering is limited. Only discipline, when it's defined by God, can be loving. And so these are the things for you to believe. And when you do, you will know and be confident that you are delivered from evil. Amen. Let's pray. God, we pray, deliver us from evil. And when we do, God, we know that you are at work, saving us at that very moment, even having saved us through the death and life and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God, you are God, you are our Lord, and we yield to you in faith. You can choose the kind of deliverance you want for us. We know that we are ultimately saved by Jesus. But God, when we need you to deliver us from circumstances, we trust in your perfect care, your perfect love. I pray today, God, for someone who is considering Christianity, who does not yet believe in Jesus, that praying with me, with us today, they will know that you, God, are the Savior, are the ultimate deliverer from sin, death, and the devil. We pray all this in the saving name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about TEL, visit us on Facebook or at telnetwork.org.